start on these projects as they're all still in their pre-construction situation right now, right? So can you give a bit of a timeline for what you expect to see over the next few you think people could be doing now to prepare if they are inspired to self-organize around these issues?
One of the things is that like there is there's like opportunities to like oppose things.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional student and community productions in and around Montreal, an island traditionally known as Tojage in Ganiagahaga and Munyang in the language of Anishinaabe, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah DeA, recording from home on Thursday, August 4th, 2022. On tonight's show, my guests. Robert Sierra explains the competitive world of improv in French and how he unites circus and improv at La Tohu this month.
I don't think that comedians have the same skills to adapt so quickly. And circus people
Interesting.
are great people. They know that they have to be careful doing everything they do, and there's so much tension.
Phenomena Festival Director General Dee Kim gives you a soupçon for her upcoming Dada Cabaret.
I'm not trying to imitate the Dada artist, you know, in the 1920 years, you know, when it was very political, when there was a lot of oppression. Like, we are not in the same context. So I'm not trying to, you know, the crowd, they are not the enemy, you know, they are not the one that oppressed artists.
And we'll take a look at the latest edition of the First Peoples Festival with founder André Dudemaine, Healing Through Art.
The role of the artist too. This is exactly how they heal trauma, because the trauma becomes a story. And when this is a story, it is something that you can put behind and look at it. And the way it has been said, it means that the story makes sense to many people.
Now, on with the show. The improvisational theater scene in French, on the Francophone side, is competitive. Not in that it's necessarily a cutthroat activity, but in that many shows are set up like sports competitions, like at the Ligue Nationale d'Impro, LNI. The stage is like a wrestling ring or a rink with a ref, cheering crowds, two teams in uniform squaring off. This is a world that is very familiar for longtime improviser Robert Sierra. One world he was not as acquainted with is that of the circus. But when Robert was asked to help devise an improvisational circus performance, he got right to learning and discovered the skill, discipline, and creativity of another art form. So, Robert goes from the improv rink or ring to the circus ring. Impro Cirque is billed as a unique event by organizers at La Tohu in Saint-Michel. Every Thursday and Friday at 9:30 this month, Impro Cirque is under the big top. You'll see two teams with three circus artists each and one musician to accompany them square off with wild challenges, fascinating themes, and then you, the audience, gets to decide who wins. Robert Sierra is the chief coach and referee for Impro Cirque. I spoke with him earlier this week. Welcome, Roberto, to Upstage. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. You're welcome. All my pleasure.
What is your circus story? How did you come to the world of circus arts?
Well, it really started with this project with Impro Cirque. It started way back, I think it's 11 years ago. And the two founders of Impro Cirque called me. They needed someone who knew about improv, and so that's more theater improv. So yeah, they called me and I joined in. And with saying that, I've been doing this type of circus for the last 11 years. And it also gave me the opportunity of doing some clown with Lisa Doigt de la Main. I went to Mexico just about a year and a half later than I joined Impro Cirque. So, yeah, I've been lucky enough to doing things with the circus people, and that wasn't my my background. So, yeah, I think that it all started. It was a bit improvised at the beginning, and that was the main reason why I was there. Yeah.
Are you coming mainly from an improvisational background in the way that we think of it as, you know, stories on the spot and comedy competitions?
Exactly. And it's the French way to do here in Quebec. So that's a match that was invented and it was created in 77 by LALENI. La Ligue Nationale d'Improvisation, so the National Improv League, that still exists and works it every year since then.
Incredibly popular.
Very popular. But that type of improv is not so popular in the English part. So it's more like sport theater or things like Whose Line Is It Anyways? But it's the same basis. So yeah, we invent stories, short stories, and it's theater style. So that's my background and that's what I do as a living. So I have my own school and all that, but I never thought I was going to be involved with the circus with this type of background. So yeah, that's my background.
And I want to circle back to La LNI, the Ligue Nationale d'Impro, to kind of sketch out a little bit for people who are unfamiliar with it. It's truly like going to see a hockey game in the sense that there's like almost like a rink or a platform usually. And the referee, arbitre, is dressed like a ref. The teams are wearing like color-coded shirts, right? So it's very distinct that you have two teams. And it sort of progresses in this way that everyone has a set amount of time to do stuff and everyone racks up points, right? Like truly.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And it's so easy to understand this game, the way it's done in the improv way. Once you see the arena, you understand that, yeah, it's all going to be like hockey liked, and you see the referee, he's giving penalties, he gives the interactions, what the players need to do, and after every improv, well, there are points like in hockey. So it's the people in the crowd that they're going to vote with the sheets, color sheets that they have, so one for the red team, the other for the blue team. So you just put the sheet color that you want to vote for up in the air, and whoever has more points gets the point for that improv. So that's the way it works, and that's what's translated in this game that we do at Impro Cirque. So it's really an improv game, but the difference is that the people in each team aren't comedians, they are circus people. So every time we do a new improv, there's a discipline we have to put in. So let's say it's trapeze or a juggling or whatever, and you have to improvise some circus numbers. And after that, well, there's votes because there's still a referee, and it's the same thing as if you know the improv game in Quebec, well, in many places in the world, but most of it in French. When you know that type of show, you see it. And immediately when you see Impro Cirque, it's the same thing, but it's it's more complicated because there's circus in it. Yeah.
That is the voice of Roberto Sierra, who is the chief coach and referee for L'Impro Cirque. You can catch La Tohu for the remainder of the summer, including a show tomorrow, Friday. Roberto, it sounds so counterintuitive because circus, we go to see these death-defying stunts. And so as an audience, we kind of know these things, we're impressed, but we know these things are rehearsed because how could you get someone a dozen feet in the air and to have it be improvised when it's so tightly coordinated and orchestrated.
Exactly. And that's totally what the circus people that we hired for these shows are asking as soon as they sign up. They don't have a clue what they're signing up for. So, and that's the scary part for them, because they'd say, well, you know, I do know how to do my stuff. But doing it improvised way with another person that I never done any number with. How is this going to be working out? And of course, there's a degree of difficulties, and it could be dangerous also. It's and we know that, but we make sure that everything is done in the proper way. And we try to teach them to listen to each other, watch what they're doing, who's taking the initiative of doing a trick, a move, and that's the important thing. And that's where I come in, because when I coach them before the shows, we always have a workshop, and we try to take the bases that we have in normal improv theater, and we try to match them up in the circus way. So it's interesting because for them, they're able to do improvised numbers. And most of the time, it can take them like, I don't know, a year and a half to build one solid number. And a couple of seconds, they have to do it in this show. So it's difficult for them to go through that that type of building up a number so quickly, but they're able to do it because when we do a show, there's about, I don't know, 7-8 numbers that they have to improvise for that night. And if you come the night after, you'll see that's not the same show, so it's totally different because every time it's a unique show, it's a unique number. So we have the circus people and in it, and in each team we try to have people from different disciplines so we can go through different types of numbers. Then we also have a comedian in each team, so they're mic'd and they can talk. And we have musicians that they're going to improvise the music through the improv circus number. So it's all improvised. It's pretty interesting to see. And playing the referee, I'm the one who, for each number, asks them to do a type of a thing, maybe a style. Maybe I could ask them to do it as it would be a horror movie, let's say. So even if they know what they're able to do, and juggling, if they have to do it through a story that could be something like a horror movie, well, I don't know. Maybe they're going to be using their accessories that they juggle with as murder weapons. Maybe their people are going to be dying, but through that, they're going to be juggling. So they have to stick to whatever I ask them to do and improvise with that. So that's the great part of this show. And I think really it's a big mashup of a lot of things that we're able to do as artists, but everything's improvised. So I really think that's the impressive thing of this show.
And Roberto, do you find in general it's easy for those circus artists to pivot? Because as you said, they might spend a year coming up with a routine and perfecting it so that it is safe and also impressive. But I'm just imagining that this is almost like a culture clash, just because le milieu that they're coming from doesn't leave that room for improvisation. So sorry to circle back to that, but to that question again, but you know, like, is it easy? Do they have to kind of rewire their brains a bit?
Well, they have to, they have to break something there, because the routine and the security that they need, they rehearse so much everything, so it's exactly the same way every time, that here they have to be aware of what's going on. Is it the good time for me to do a backflip? Even if I know how to do it, normally there's nobody around me that I can hit by doing it, or just cause an accident to someone who's going up the trapeze at the same time. So yeah, it's difficult, but once they get the hang of it, it connects quite simply, and that's surprising for them and surprising for us, because we don't have a clue of what they're able to do. They know what they can do, but they don't know if they can do it. So yeah, it's quite interesting for that. But and we have people from all around the world that do it, because most of the time we do this show in Montreal, and we use great performers, professionals, of course, from most of the time, if they're in Montreal, from people from Cirque du Soleil, from Cirque Loise, Sept Doigts de la Main, name it, Cirque Alphonse, everybody, that all these big companies we have in Quebec and Montreal. But also we have artists from all over the world, because what we do is we hire all those who are available at that time in Montreal. So maybe we have some Russians, maybe we have some Americans, maybe we have some French people. So we have a lot of people from everywhere. Sometimes when I do the workshop, I have to ask, in which language am I doing this today? You know, maybe it's in Spanish, maybe it's in French, maybe it's in English. So, and sometimes I have to do like in two or three languages at the same time to translate myself when I have them on. So yeah, it's crazy. But at the moment that they understand that they can do this differently than they do normally, it's like a little bit of magic coming in, and it's quite fun. And after that, they say, I should use this more often to create new numbers instead of just doing a routine, trying to see how it fits, practice it a lot. It doesn't change anything. They have to practice anyway. They have to practice all the skills that they need to do, all the moves that they invent. But the way they do it, it brings a lot of difference in the way they think of building a number. Yeah, that's...
You're changing this circus world one performer at a time.
Yeah, it's fun. And since we don't have all the same people on every show, even if we had the same people, it wouldn't be the same show. But on top of that, we change. So if you're getting comfortable with one or other artist from the circus, the day after, you're working with somebody new that you never worked with, and you're going to do some crazy things on stage with them. So no, it's really impressive. It's fun to see them and see how they work, and how they understand what you say, and the way they just go for it, and they apply it easily, you know. And that's impressive. That's really impressive. I don't think that comedians have the same skills to adapt so quickly. And circus people are great people. They know that they have to be careful doing everything they do, and there's so much tension. I know that if I would like just want to walk through the stage whenever they're doing things, there wouldn't be any danger, because if they see me starting walking and not stopping, whatever they would do, nobody will hurt me, nobody will touch me. They're aware of what's going around. That's crazy. And I would do that with a comedian. For sure, I'm going to be hit.
That is the voice of Roberto Sierra, who is the chief coach and referee at L'Impro Cirque, longtime improviser himself. I'm curious to know, can anyone be an improviser? Because it's something that people do often as like an entry level thing, or maybe they do it through work, or they try it out in high school. But it's a tricky art.
It's a tricky art, but I do think that everybody should try improv. I'm not saying that everybody should be on stage doing an improv show, but improv brings good things to people. I think that you get aware of listening better, listen to the others. Sometimes people have difficulty doing that. They think they know everything and they don't listen what people say. Working together, I think that brings another good value here, there, with working with others. Just as confidence also that you can bring on yourself, and being able to express yourself. Sometimes that's difficult for some people. So for all that, I think really improv should be tested and tried by everybody. After that, if you want to go higher level and do it on stage, that's maybe different. That's maybe not everybody's able to go on stage and do a show. But as a workshop thing, I think that everybody should try it.
I want to ask you lastly about your, because you're talking about bringing people into the improv world. This experience with L'Impro Cirque has brought you into the circus world because you've done some clowning. So what has that meant for your career and your work as an artist?
Well, it brought me a lot of things. I think that simply trying to, when they came and asked me to do this, to be the chief coach of a discipline, I didn't even know what it was. So yeah, I had to be like the professional who knows who's what you're talking about, and it wasn't easy, but it was so fun. Because everybody was listening to me like as I was the master of a trapeze thing or the boss of another discipline of circus, but I've never done any circus. And when I say people, because sometimes I give classes at l'École Nationale de Cirque to teach them how to do like easy, fast numbers and improvise and all that based on Impro Cirque. And when I tell them that I did a lot of festivals around the world with Impro Cirque, I've done Montreal Complètement Cirque a lot of times, maybe 6 or 7 times. I went to Circo Polo in Buenos Aires in Argentina, been to Elbeuf in France, and they go, wow, you did a lot of festivals, you did a lot of things in circus. And I go, yeah, well, I don't even know why I'm there at the beginning, but yeah. So it was big opportunities for me, and to work with so many different artists around the world. That I think was the most amazing part, because the improv I do as on theater, I work with a lot of French spoken countries like France, Belgium, and Switzerland. But in this case, I was able to work with people from around the world, and the language wasn't a barrier anymore. So, that's what I think was the best thing about it, because we could do this show anywhere in the world. Well, maybe not me, because the referee has to speak at least the language of the country we're in. But I would say most of the time, if you do it in English, you could do it. So, yeah, it's pretty fun to do that way. So, yeah, it brought me a lot of things, and mostly working with people from all over the world.
Circus is truly an international art. Roberto, it's been so much fun getting to know you and finding out more about L'Impro Cirque. Thank you so much. That was Robert Sierra, chief coach and referee for L'Impro Cirque. Robert originally comes from the world of Francophone improv, and he's adapted the competitive style to circus performances. These are taking place at the Big Top at La Tohu in Saint-Michel Thursday and Friday nights at 9:30 for the entire month of August. You as the audience gets to crown the big winner between the two teams. There's also a special deal for tickets. You can get 20% off if you buy tickets for 2 shows, 30% off for 3, 40% off for 4 shows, and so on. And tomorrow night, Friday the 5th of August, you can see the North American premiere of La Veilleuse Cabaret Holographique. It's a 25-minute show by a French company called 1420. It riffs on the idea of the stage light that never goes out in the theater, with one light bulb to illuminate the performance. I think there's going to be some optical illusions here. That show is at 8:45 tomorrow, Friday, August the 5th, before the 9:30 Impro Cirque. And there are lots of other activities indoors and out in and around La Tohu in Saint-Michel, from kite flying to musical performances, all ages. You can visit tohu.ca, tohu.ca, for tickets and more information. And you can also learn more about Robert Sierra and his impro training at improsierra.com, improsierra.com. I'm Sarah DeA, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. Still to come, a chat with André Dudemain from the First Peoples Festival, which gets underway on Tuesday. He says art can heal trauma. Now we're going to take a trip all the way from La Tohu Saint-Michel southwards to Place Émilie Gamelin, specifically Les Jardins Gamelin, where outdoor activities like games and concerts are hosted throughout the summer en plein air right next to Barrie UQAM Metro at Barrie and St. Catherine Street in the heart of downtown. The organizers at Festival Phenomena are taking a moment away from preparing for the full return of their arts festival in October to program a cabaret dada for Les Jardins. It's the third cabaret they'll host at this spot, with music, poetry, and circus on display. Phenomena's artistic and director general, Dee Kim, says she wants to create a program that is eclectic and joyful, very different from the dada cabarets of a century ago, as she will explain, but boundary pushing and important all the same. And she's most proud of the inclusion of two deaf artists who will be on the program. I spoke with Dee Kim yesterday about the cabaret dada phenomena coming up this Tuesday at Place Gamelin. Bienvenue, Dee Kim, to Upstage. Thank you for being here.
Hi, summertime.
How is your summer going?
It's good. I'm working a lot. I was in France to attend two festivals in June and July. One was a Clin d'œil, Festival Clin d'œil. They are presented from all of the world sign language show. So it's a festival specialized with sign language. And as I'm working with deaf artists, I was very curious about that. It was strange because I was the only maybe hearing person. Everything was just in sign language and sometimes often was with no translation. So I was really like in the same position of deaf people, always not able to understand what's going on. So it was quite an experience.
I can just imagine, and it's probably enriching the work that you're doing back home here.
But it was nice. It's at Reims in France, and it's very big festival, you know, and there were deaf people in all over the city, all in the restaurant, everywhere. And at night they have a big party with music, very loud music and lights, and like outside, like a lot of people, all in sign language. That was very beautiful. That's very beautiful to see.
So let's segue into the Dada Cabaret that is coming up on Tuesday. Very exciting. So this will be at the Jardin Emily Gamelin, which is this beautiful outdoor space that's been around just for the last couple of years near Barrie UQAM Metro, right in the heart of downtown. So what can we expect at the Dada Cabaret or Cabaret Dada?
It's the third edition we are doing there. Honestly, I'm not doing things in Quartier des Spectacles. Usually, I'm more in Milan neighborhood. But I like that place, the little stage of Jardin Gamelin. I like the people around there. I like to go to see the karaoke on Monday night. So I like it. It's very democratic and it's free. And so I do it, even like it's a bit on the top of all what I have to do, because I'm preparing the Phenomena Festival, but I like to do that. It's kind of a gift I want to give to the community. So this year I'm very happy because we have our super amazing, crazy Alexis O'Hara to host the show. I work with her since a while. She's really part of Phenomena spirit. And she's then good to host that cabaret. It's very cool because she's wearing costume made by her partner at home. It's very crazy costume. Just to come to see Alexis will be a good reason to be there.
I'm very happy about that.
And then
how would you describe Alexis as a
amazing on stage, you know, she's always able to catch up what's going on, sometimes make a cold, you know, with something to take it after. Yeah, she's a great performer. She's kind of a trésor national for me. I worked with her since so many years. I know her like totally like a book.
A collaborator.
Yeah.
That is the voice of Dee Kim, who is the director general and artistic director at the Festival Phenomena, which is coming up in October. But you can get a little taste of what's to come with Phenomena by checking out the Cabaret Dada Phenomena this Tuesday, August the 9th. So Alexis is going to be our host, and you have a wide variety of people filling in for the rest of the lineup, including circus artists, different kinds of performances. So tell me about what we can expect, what else we can expect at the cabaret.
as it's summer and it's not exactly the usual crowd of the Phenomena Festival at Sala Rosa, I want that cabaret very ludic, you know, fun, cheerful,
playful.
So, and also the Dada movement, I'm not trying to imitate the Dada artist, you know, in the 1920 years, you know, when it was very political, when there was a lot of oppression, like we are not in the same context. So I'm not trying to, you know, the crowd, they are not the enemy, you know, they are not the one that oppressed artists. So I don't want something that is like to make lesson to the people, you know. I want
it's not oppositional.
Cheerful and
yeah.
So it's important to understand that, because so we have poetry, we have circus artists, but it's always alternative circus artists. You know, they are doing things like it's not Cirque du Soleil, of course, small stage. And I have a clown. And I have those two deaf artists who will make what we kind of chanting. So they are doing songs in with the sign language. And someone is interpreting the song with voice, so we can see how they do it. So this is an experience. For them, it's a first experience, you know, in that kind of context. And because usually they are doing in a small venue with deaf people, you know, with the deaf community. So this will be more open. And I think for the hearing public, it's interesting to learn, to know those artists, you know, to see how they work and to know more about that community.
Tell me
so
about...
This is the plan. This is the menu. I have also an artist, very, very interesting. It's the first time I'm working with her. It's Adrienne Monk. She was in the CBC contest, you know, she was doing extravaganza with costume. It's Alexis who make me know her. And she's very, very, very interesting. She will have a costume, of course, and something totally crazy. So I'm very curious about her performance.
I'm looking at the image of her, and she's wearing like a big silvery kind of outfit with it's almost like she's jodhpurs, like she's round pants. So she's like kind of expanding out the sides a little bit, like Violet from Willy Wonka and from the Chocolate Factory. And she's got mouse ears and long black gloves, holding up a little menacingly, but also in a welcoming manner. So I'm very intrigued by that.
Yeah, I'm always the... always enthusiastic for costume. That's why I'm doing the parade, Phenomena Parade, the parade Phenomena.
That is Dee Kim. She is the director general and the artistic director at the Festival Phenomena. The Cabaret Dada is this Tuesday at Parc Emilie Gamelin, and that gives you a taste of what you can expect at Phenomena, which will return in full force in October, so later this fall. So what, when you plan Phenomena, you know, what is the general idea behind this very eccentric festival for you?
Well, it will be the 11th edition. We celebrated the 10th edition last year, and it was a big success because it was like we had a little door between two closing because the pandemic, so we can have a lot of people in the room, for many people, for the public, for many person. It was the first time they see a show, they are attending a show since a very long time. So the atmosphere was amazing. Like, we were so happy to come back to Sala Rosa. And this year, the festival is very big. We are on 3 weeks because we start with the Parade Phenomenale on the 2nd of October. So we get our permis, you know, to close the St. Laurent, to walk with the parade. So I'm very happy because I'm working on this since many months. You know, city is long to
yeah,
answer.
It's very hard.
Process.
The parade is the parade is an extraordinary experience.
Totally. It will be the 3rd edition. And like last time we were like 100 and 100 of person costume. We have team, people, they build their costume. We have marching band. We are working with Patsy Van Roost to reach the community. And we will finish. We have a partnership with Pop Montreal. They are so nice. They will receive us in the big tent they have at Entrepôt 77, you know, in Bernard.
Yep.
Close to the skate park. So if it's raining, we do a costume ball. So we do something. We will not postpone. So I'm very happy about that. We finished with the show with La Fanfare Pourpour, dancing show with La Fanfare Pourpour. So that will be amazing. It's always very poetic, very democratic. Everyone is welcome. If you have a costume, if you don't have costume, you're a spectator. You know, if you want to be in the parade, you have to costume. So that will be, like reaching people, be together, do something poetic, you know, be the star for that day.
It's so much fun.
We will have a dog, how do you say cortège in English?
Yeah, like you'll have a dog parade.
Yeah.
A dog portion of the parade.
Yeah. So you're welcome. You costume your dog.
Now, I remember from a couple of years back before the pandemic, you know, there was themes, like there was a flora theme, then there was like a section that was just birds. Some people were dressed all in like one specific color. So will that be like, will I be able to sign up for like the bird company or like the toy company?
We have different themes.
Okay.
And we have a Facebook group, very, very interesting. You can reach that because there's a lot of people putting ideas for costume. So it's very already full of ideas for costume on the Facebook page.
What? How do we find the Facebook page?
Parade Phénoménale.
Oh, okay, Parade Phénoménale. Got it. So 2 months out from the festival, as the showrunner, like the.
Invite people. We have very good show this year. I'm very happy. The festival is huge because we have received for the Call for Project, we have received a lot of proposals because we are well known now to be very inclusive. We always have present what we call diversity, even we don't like that word now, but we always add diversity, gender diversity, racial diversity, body diversity. So we are well known for that. And I'm very honored to that people trust us. So I extend the festival to welcome all those proposals. We have a show, we have the Sala Rosa, but we have also show at the Rialto. We have another venue, more secret. We have very, very different show. We are working with Claudia Chantac. She's our curator for diversity. We will have the Dada Cabaret at the festival that is always crazy. It's in French, but it will be very interesting. I have a cabaret féministe pas gentil du tout, which means a very not nice feminist cabaret. I think it will be fun. And we have a partnership with La Cinémathèque Québécoise for a show with projection of old movie with what they call bonimenteur. So it will be very old-fashioned show. We have so many shows. I'm very proud of the program this year. That's why I work hard. I want everything will be nice on the website. And it's very important for me to make promotion of artists. Many artists, like, they are young, they are new. So I want that people will discover them. I want that they will be reachable on the web. So each artist has his picture, bio. I'm running to they will send me their stuff. You know, I work a lot to collect all the material. So I'm very involved in the festival. It's like my baby, you know. I'm doing a festival since 20 years.
And that is just what you can tell
Maman
us.
Maman Kim for artists.
Yeah. And that's just what you can tell us, because the full programming is still yet to come out. But it's been so great to connect with you, D. Kim, and to find out what to expect this coming Tuesday and for October. And we'll see you at the Phenomena Festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was D. Kim, Artistic and Director General of Festival Phenomena, which will take place later in October. But for now, whet your appetite with her Cabaret Dada Phenomena, the third edition slated for Parc Émilie Gamelin this coming Tuesday at 8:30. This is at the Jardin Gamelin near Berry-UQAM. Free entry. Alexis O'Hara is hosting, with talent like the clown Madame Zazu, circus performers like David Menes, Lisandre Murphy-Gauthier, and Los Colgados, that's a duo, and many more. And if you want to volunteer or submit art for the Festival Phenomena in October, you can visit electrique.ca, that's the organization's website, electrique.ca. I'm Sarah DeA. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. My next guest says that listening to Indigenous artists is more urgent and relevant than ever. André Dudemaine is Director of Cultural Activities for Land Insights, or Terre en Vue, the organizers of the First Peoples Festival, a multidisciplinary and multinational celebration of art every August. The 32nd edition kicks off Tuesday, August 9th, and runs until the 18th, with music, cinema, reading, circus, and dance on the program, including the performance of an autobiographical play on August 15th. It's called UET, Récit d'un survivant, and it is written and performed in French by artist Omer Saint-Ange, who is from Malio-Tanam. Performances and exhibits are going to take place at the Place du Festival from August 10th to the 15th. I spoke with André Dudemaine yesterday to get a feel for the upcoming festival. Bienvenue, André. Thank you for coming back on Upstage. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you back. You just launched the festival. It's still, it's going to fully start in the next couple of days. But how did the launch go? How what's the vibe like, the feeling?
Well, this year it is very exciting. This is kind of a comeback for the festivals and the public events. But at the same time, it comes just at a very special moment for First Nations, because following the visit of the so-called Pope and the interest that is raising about indigenous issues. This is really an exciting time, because the festival is, the role of the festival is more and more recognized by the public, by the institutions, and really there is a sense of continuity and of pertinence that we felt, of course, in the theme of the festival, but we can feel in the general public.
I wanted to turn back to the Pope's visit very briefly, because this wasn't talked about as much. A lot of the discussion was around what did he apologize for and how does apology change from day to day, which is still very important. But at each stop he went to, there were First Nations and Métis and Inuit performers performing music, dancing, doing different kinds of performances. And it's exciting to still see that getting elevated and reminding the general public that there are so many talented artists in this country.
Yes, and it remembers also the importance of the arts in the expression of a nation and of a community, especially in decolonization time, how the artists are spokesperson and ambassadors, and fully are conformed with the Ezra Pound. We have the artists at the forefront, in front of the Pope, but in every city, in every place, in every venue in Canada, to raise awareness and to bring joy and to bring hope to of course our own peoples, but also to the Canadian population. We think that the traditional values of Aboriginal people are the way, the response to the crisis the planet is facing right now. And there is a sensibility to the spiritual value behind the natural processes that are part of the indigenous heritage. And each work of art, each artist is connected to even with very modern or contemporary tool of expression, is always connected to this root of personal, emotional, spiritual relations to the living beings.
Do you think that Indigenous artists right now feel the weight of needing to communicate what's happening in this world, but also to talk, to also be kind of an ambassador for reconciliation, you know, in addition to being really good at what they do, you know, to technical mastery, and also to convey emotions to the audience, to the people coming to see them perform or to come to see their art? Like, it's a heavy load, I think, for individuals.
We were speaking this morning with another journalist about Kukum, the Marcel Jean book, which is a tragic story, but a beautiful story too. And it has a huge success. So the role of the artist too, this is exactly how they heal trauma, because the trauma becomes a story. And when this is a story, it is something that you can put behind and look at it. And the way it has been said, it means that the story makes sense to many people and gives emotion and gives beauty to the world. So if you want to put it more prosaically, they take shit and they make flowers out of it.
Very well put. That is the voice of André Dudemaine, who is the founder of the Terre en Vue First Nations Festival, which is getting ready to kick off this month here in downtown Montreal. So there's always a wide variety of disciplines that are represented. What can we expect on the performing arts side of things?
Well, we are very excited with the creation of a new piece composed by Tim Brady, who is a famous Canadian classical contemporary composer, who works with Josephine Bacon, an Innu poet, and with seven poems by Josephine. He make a piece called Ouyesh, And it will be performed by the Nouvel Ensemble Moderne with under the direction of Lorraine Vaillancourt Saturday, August 14th at the Auditorium of the Grande Bibliothèque. It will be a premiere mondiale, and I have heard things so beautiful during the rehearsals. I can swear to you, this will be a very, very special moment. And also another ensemble of classic guitars, Forestari, will be there, and they will perform with André Lévesque-Sioui, a Wendat poet, and all this will make an unforgettable show. And also this is something in a sense new, to connect Aboriginal cultures, Aboriginal artists with classical music performers. So that is kind of new branch, if I can say, in the festival. Of course, on the Place des Festivals, we have a lot of fantastic show and very inspiring artists. Saturday night, the 13th, we have Mathieu with a new album. Mathieu is also singing in Innu language and in French. And he carried his own generation concert through his song and guitar. It is very more and more well known, not only in Quebec, but all around the world. And we are really proud that he has chosen Présence Autochtone to launch his new album, like Samian did last year. Also, we will have Digging Roots the day before, Friday. I think Raven and Shoshona, they are very, very well known. They are a duo, man and woman, and they are really involved in Aboriginal fights, Aboriginal issues, and all this is translated in song. They are, I would say, what was Buffy Sainte-Marie 25 years ago.
Wow.
In parenthesis, Buffy Sainte-Marie will have an exhibition of visual arts on Sainte-Catherine Street during the festival.
Oh, excellent.
Near Place du Festival. Yes.
Buffy Sainte-Marie is so well known for her music and her activism, yeah. But of course she's mega talented, and of course she does visual art too. Like,
yes. And also we will have Nikamata Nehu. Probably the everybody will see new. Well, Nikamatan is an annual show created by Music Nomad. And this is an all-star, native all-star show. And this is incredible because they work weeks and months to make that conceptual show, with this year more than 30 artists involved. So it will be Wednesday night, and that will be fantastic. And there is new artists like Q52 and Mi'kmaq rapper. And you will have also Claude McKenzie from Kashtin, an old timer that will be there too. And he has a new album too. So, it will be a really beautiful mix of different performers. And of course, we will have, to start, we will have Beatrice Deer, who is Inuk and Mohawk, but she sang a lot of songs in her own Inuktitut ancestral language. And we will have Leonard Sumner with her the same on the same stage, the same Quebecois stage, to open the series of concerts on Place du Festival, 10th of August.
That is the voice of André Dudemain, who is the director of cultural activities at Terre en Vue, or Land in Sights, and they're the people that bring us the for Montreal First Peoples Festival. Now, you've just listed so many different genres and so many different kinds of disciplines. So when you do a festival like this that is not centered around one kind of music or one kind of art, is it important for you, as you know, the guy in charge looking at the programming, to be able to cover as much ground as possible, to feel like every, not only are the genres and the disciplines represented, but also the people, because you're talking about Innu and Mohawk and people from Mi'kmaq, different backgrounds. Like, do you feel like you have to check a lot of the boxes to have that representation? Is that important?
Well, we don't have to check the box. All the boxes arrive all together at the same time.
Yes.
This is the way we are. A gathering of the First Nations and is always almost a family fiesta. Right? So everybody brings his own contribution. And also this is part of the culture. We think about a non-hierarchical way of seeing the world. So the kukum who is beading a moccasin for us is as the same importance as the avant-garde artist that goes to the Biennale in Venice. The both of them are part of the circle, and what we are recreating during the festival is this large circle of nations. And this is also the vocation of the place. Montreal, if you look at the geography, has always been dedicated as a meeting place. And this is the role it is taking back during a presence of the fun.
It's been such a pleasure to talk with you again, André. I'm so jazzed by all of the programming that you guys have planned that's going to roll out starting on August the 9th until the 18th. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're very welcome.
That was André Dudemain, Director of Cultural Activities for Land Insights, Terre en Vue, the organizers of First Peoples Festival. The 32nd edition launches this Tuesday and runs until August 18th. The outdoor component will include live performances and booths at Place des Festivals from the 10th to the 15th. And right now you're hearing from singer Beatrice Deer, who André mentioned, she is Inuk and Mohawk, performed last week at the Plains of Abraham during the Pope's visit to Quebec City. She performs August 10th during First Peoples Festival. This is her track, History, released late last year. For more information, you can visit presenceautochtone.ca. You have been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Tonight you heard my guests, Impro Cirque chief coach and trainer Robert Sierra. You can catch him tonight and tomorrow and every Thursday and Friday this month at 9:30 at La Torue for l'Impro Cirque. Also, Phenomena Festival Director General Dee Kim. The Data Cabaret Phenomena is at Jardin Gamelin this Tuesday, August the 9th. And André Dudemain previewed the upcoming edition of the First Peoples Festival. Kicks off this Tuesday until August the 18th. A very big thank you to my guests. Other things you can check out this weekend, the Hudson Village Theatre launches Feather Gardens. That is the premiere, this new play by Jimmy Blay, who is also artistic director at Geordie Theatre. And Repercussion Theatre's All Shall Be Well, Shakespeare in the Park. They wrap up their summer tour this weekend. There's a show on Friday, and the final one is Saturday night at Jean Mals Park in the Plateau. Free, donations accepted. Bring a chair, bring your snacks, bring your drinks. And also, happy Pride! The Pride Festival is back running until Sunday, when it will end with the big Pride Parade blowout. You can check out Dave St. Pierre's new dance show. It's an homage to the victims of the HIV/AIDS crisis. It's called Rapture, and it's ongoing at Le Monastère on St. Catherine and Bishop. You can visit fiertemtl.ca for tickets and more information. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at ckut.ca under the archives. Thank you to Jack Soler, our spoken word coordinator, for making sure this show gets to air. And thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Sarah DeA. Speak with you next time on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at ckut.ca. Have fun and stay safe. Up next is Grey Matters.
This summer, I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Good evening and welcome to the August 4th edition of Grey Matters. Tonight on the show we have the second of a two-part lecture by Howard Zinn entitled The People's History of the United States. It was recorded in Portland, Oregon in November 20th of 1995. Howard Zinn, of course, passed away in January of 2010. He was professor emeritus at Boston University, and he was the United States' premier radical historian. He was born in Brooklyn in 1922. His parents, poor immigrants, were constantly moving to stay, as he once told David Barsamian, one step ahead of the landlord. He spoke and marched against the U.S. wars on Afghanistan and Iraq. His masterpiece, A People's History of the United States, continues to sell in huge numbers. Among his many other books are You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train, Failure to Quit, Reflections on an Optimistic Historian, and Original Zinn with David Barsamian. Shortly before his death, he completed his last great project, the documentary The People Speak. So, here's the second part of Howard Zinn's lecture, A People's History of the United States. It was recorded at Reed College again in 1995.